obviously you can.
I'm in the same
anyway,
room as you.
This is the first episode of my new podcast, or the first one if you're ever hearing me talk about this. Anyway, it's called Space Coyote. If you ever listen to any Four Future Reference, it's Jose from Space Coyote. From Four Future Reference. Damn it. Having a hard time
right now.
This is Space Coyote. It's going to be a little bit different format. It's not going to be just a bunch of my friends talking. It's going to be one friend talking. And we'll just talk more about what's going on, their life, and like just history, and less fucking around and more introspective shit. Anyway, I'm Jose, and I'll be your host. And today, my first guest is going to be a dear friend of mine who I met in film school in 2006, mm-hmm. 7. Anyway, here's Crystal Lewis, and say hi.
Hi. I feel like I'm like
closer.
The least interesting person you can have as a first guest, but
no, we talked a lot today, and a lot of it was very interesting. So,
okay.
I'm sure there's more to say inside of you.
Deep down inside,
there's more to explore. That's a great tagline for like a kids movie.
More to explore. Is this
Smurfs 3?
Oh man.
Or a sex ed film.
I was going to say kind of sex ed, like. Coming to age, questioning sexuality.
I'm sure somewhere's been done.
Yeah, you're a little bit sniffly today.
I know, I'm a little under the weather. It's happened a few times on the podcast. Anyway, this is my new podcast, and I'm just going to ask you questions and just talk and keep interrupting you with more questions while you talk about another question.
You're very good at that, so I'm ready.
I'm very good at interrupting you. So, quick rundown, just where you're from and why you're out here.
I moved here from Tennessee, and I moved out here to go to film school where we met, and my goal is to write and get paid for it.
Yeah, so, but right now you are...
I work in post-production. I'm a post-production coordinator. Super fun. Not really.
And how is that world?
Long hours, high stress.
Do you guys get paid lunches?
No.
Okay, so you have to bring your own lunch every day?
Yeah, well, I mean, like, we're on a street in Beverly Hills that has a lot of choices, so if I don't bring my lunch, I will go and get something, yeah.
Okay. But they don't provide the lunch for you?
No. It's one of those base-by-base situations, like, if we have to stay during, like, if we can't get out of the office for lunch, like, there's something we have to do, then the show, Warner Brothers, will buy lunch, and that's acceptable, but... Other than that, no.
That sounds fun. It does. I miss sitting down at my job.
Retail.
Woo. So since then, you've been writing, and you've been writing a lot of stuff here. Has living in L.A. been more inspirational or less or the same when it comes to writing?
More inspirational by far. Crystal, when I first moved here versus Crystal now, is much more open-minded and much more accepting of things. Like, I come from a very small town, very Baptist town, so
But not a snake-handling town.
No, not that intense.
Okay, not that kind of Baptist, okay.
No, but, like, while I was still considered more open-minded than most people there, I was still, for the most part, in comparison to here, very close-minded. So I've changed quite a bit since I moved here.
If you don't mind me asking, what's the biggest one that you've seen change?
Just overall, like, open-minded to trying new things. Like, when I first moved here, I didn't eat sushi. It's, like, one of my favorite things. Now I'm like, raw fish, gross. Like, little things like that you wouldn't think were big. Like, I have gay friends now. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not uncomfortable. Like, me and my friend Michelle went to the Hot Springs yesterday in Ojai, and there was, like, lots of naked people there, like, lots of hippies. That would have made old Crystal incredibly uncomfortable. Like, people were smoking weed and drinking and, like, just naked and talking about, like, you know, meditation and, like, past life stuff and, like, all of that would have made old me incredibly, incredibly uncomfortable. I would have had to leave. Now, like, I engaged with these people that were naked sitting across the pool. I wasn't naked myself, but, like, it didn't bother me. I understood that, like, that's their lifestyle. That's their choice. It doesn't have anything to do with me. Like, they're free to do whatever they want just as much as I'm free to do whatever I want. So, like, just in that aspect of just accepting different people and their different ways of living, and learning that that's their choice, just as everything I choose in my life is my choice, where before I would just strictly judge them.
When someone's naked in front of you, okay, I was going to say, because I feel like I would be too scared, and then I would have to just look them in the eyes. But I hate looking people in the eye. So now I'm doing a thing I hate to avoid another thing I don't want to do. It seems like a very, very strange, awful situation to be in if you don't like eyes.
This is my thing. Like, if you're going to a public place like that, like it's open to the public, and you're going to be naked, you're, like, you have to realize that people are going to look, like... That's not a normal everyday thing for most people. Like, you don't walk down Sunset. Well, maybe you do walk down Sunset, see naked people, but do you know what I mean? Like, and it wasn't like me gawking at them. It's just like they stood up in the water, and like, even if they had a bathing suit on, I would have looked at them. Like, it's just like Michelle was talking about that. She was talking about how she just felt very awkward and didn't want to look. I was like, fuck it. I mean, there's a dick right in my face. I'm going to look at it. Like, period. Like, that's how it happens. And it's not like I was, like, gawking or I was judging them, but, like, I would, like, they would stand up and I would look over there because there was movement. And then, like, I would see it and then I would look up at them and, like, there was no judgment and they were fine with it. They're like,
oh, no, you were judging.
Oh, I wasn't judging.
Oh, I'm sure you were.
No, I really wasn't. I'm a very judgy person, but, yeah, but, like, it's just, like, it's a...
I'm sure once the next dick rolls around, you're like, no, not like the other one.
True. There was old people there, too, that were naked. It was not pleasant.
That's not a terrible joke. I won't even say it, no. So you had that experience in Ojai with the naked hippies.
But they were all so nice. Like, all of them were just really nice, and they all started conversations with us, and we talked about pleasant things, and, like, we were, you know, just, it was nice.
That's cool. That's, if you were to... tell anyone back home about that experience, what would their reaction be? Would they be more,
oh my god, what the fuck?
Would they be disgusted or ashamed in you, or would they just be angry, or what would they?
I don't know. It depends on who I spoke to. They would be like, why would you go there? Why would you do that? Or what's wrong with those people? I don't think so much them judge. I don't think they would so much judge me, because, like, it's a hot spring and it's open to the public, and so, like, I went knowing the people that I would come in contact with, but they would judge the other people. Yeah.
Now, I know you don't always lived in a small town, but coming from a small town, at some point, are there things that they did back there that we would be like, "What are you doing?" Would we kind of not look down at them, but would we be close-minded to anything that they're very normal about?
God, I don't know.
Besides drinking shitty beer, because I'm sure that happens.
Oh my god, they do drink shitty beer. Like, Bud Light's like a staple in the South. I don't know. I mean, you would have to, like, go to my hometown with me and be like, what? Because it's all just so normal to me. I mean, it's not, like, some of them are just like, Jesus Christ, but... It's like me pointing out stuff, like asking you to point out stuff from here.
Yeah.
That people would find weird, but you're like, I don't know, it's all so natural to me.
Mexicans make Chinese food here.
That's what Mexicans make everything here.
They do. They're Mexicans are like the, I don't know, what's one thing that gets processed into everything?
Corn.
Corn. They're the high fructose corn syrup of the food service industry. They're in everything.
Everywhere, yeah.
And if you take it out, good luck. Well, you're replacing it.
Yeah.
That's what they're like. That's a good, yeah. That's a good,
like,
one.
That.
I'm proud of myself for that one. So, since you've been here, I know there's a lot of things you don't like about LA. What do you love about LA? Besides the industry that you're here for.
I don't actually love the industry.
Oh, great. Great.
Like, if I'm being honest, it's a very political industry to be in. And
I'm sure it's very...
And I hate that about it. Like, I just want to tell stories, and it's so fucking complicated to be able to do that when it shouldn't be. It's all about who you know or...
Well, hopefully we're entering an age where the storyteller gets to interact and be more direct with their audience than the old way.
I hope so, but I still think that's a very, like, niche part of it, because I was talking with someone before, and, like... There's so many things that the studios could do to make it more interactive and make it easier to make content and get it to people. But the problem is, it takes so long to get to the head of the studio that by the time you get there, you're considered an old fogey in a way, and like you're detached from what the youth is doing and like what's the newest thing and what's the cool thing. So there's always like, I think logically there's always going to be a separation from that, and there's always going to be that niche group, and there's going to be this guy that's running the studio that wants to do it the way he did it coming up, because he's stuck in his way because he or she's an older, you know what I mean, from another generation, from what is like hip and new and young in whatever part of the industry. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I definitely get you. It's
because all of the, even like heads of departments in a lot of the studios, they're all older people.
They'd have to be, I imagine, you know.
Because it takes so long to work up to that. Like, I know people that have been assistants in agencies for like 5 years, like an assistant in an agency for 5 years. That's how long it takes. And they're willing to stay in there for that long because they know it's a long ass road and they want the end result. And so many people will put up with so much shit in this business because they're told that's how you do it, because that's how it's been done for the past 50 years. Deal with the shit, and then come, you're 49 years old, you'll finally get that job you really, really want.
Yeah.
It's depressing to think about.
After that giant depressing rant, what do you love about LA?
I love the how many different kinds of people it's brought me into contact with.
Like
there's just so much diversity here that I was not exposed to in Tennessee, and I like it. And that's a lot of the reasons why I'm more open minded now, because like I see these people, and like before I moved here, there was a certain kind of person that was a good person, and that was it. And then everyone else was bad. Like, that sounds really weird, but that's very much kind of how it is in small towns, you know? But I'm meeting all of these different people who have very different views than I have, who have grown up very differently than I have. And I'm very good at judging. Like, I get a very good sense of people when I first meet them. I'm like, this person's great. They're so different from me. Oh, my God, that's okay? Like, I had no idea. And that's a great deal of why I'm so much more open to things now. Are you yawning or...?
Kind of. I yawn with my mouth closed. It's really hard to explain.
It's strange looking. It's like you're having like a stroke slash. I don't know what's happening.
I hate yawning. I really do.
Really?
Oh, I hate yawning. I hate it.
It's a good release. I like it. No. I hate sneezing.
Mm-mm. Makes me feel like my mouth is going to like just explode open and like never go back.
You're weird.
I know. So,
I like having the beach so close, and I like having the mountain so close. Like, I like that, you know, if I feel like having a beach day, I can. But I feel like going to a mountainy area, it's an hour away.
When you moved here, did you have an idea of L.A. or Southern California that turned out to be a misconception?
I thought it was more glamorous than it was, I guess, if that makes sense. Like, you know, I thought what everyone kind of thinks of Hollywood, like, you know, the business and Hollywood Boulevard and, like, the stars, and I'm going to see them everywhere, and I'm going to make friends with them, and, you know, I'm going to, you know, like, you're going to walk down the street and bump into celebrities all the time. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. You think that. I mean, you randomly run into them, and it's just, like, kind of weird because it's in Trader Joe's at, like, 4:30 on a Thursday. And they're like buying lettuce.
my girlfriend Janina ran into, oh God, what's the girl from Black Swan? Not Natalie Portman.
Mina Kunis.
Mina Kunis in a Walmart at midnight. I mean, it doesn't get weirder than that.
I remember seeing it was a few years after we graduated, and I had to run to Best Buy in like Woodland Hills area to get something for work, and Fabio was there. I'm not even kidding you. I was like, oh, my God, his hair is amazing. Oh, my God, this is fabulous. It's so weird to me.
What did Fabio need?
At Best Buy. I had no idea.
That's weird.
So it's, like, always randomly that you run into them, but that's one thing. I didn't realize that L.A. in general was so big.
Yes, it's a very weird notion that people don't ever get through film or TV. That LA is massive. LA is a huge general area.
Yeah.
Because when people talk about LA, they're probably not even referring to Los Angeles.
They're just talking about Hollywood.
Yeah.
That small part, yeah.
But it's like, it's still massive and it's so diverse already. And it's It's ridiculous. Like when I tell people where I'm from, if I'm from out of state or from another area, I say LA County, but I still just say LA.
Right.
But it's literally, I'm 30 miles away from downtown LA. So it's crazy.
It's like, in LA is a lot like Nashville, and then it's like, there's Nashville, but within Nashville, there's like small communities. Like I live in LA, but I live in Sherman Oaks. Like it's still LA, but it's like a town within a city kind of feel to me.
It's very odd how it's like, is your address Sherman Oaks or is it Los Angeles?
It's Sherman Oaks, California.
It's crazy, but it's like Los Angeles.
But it's LA, yeah.
It's weird. People don't understand that. And actually, it's been mentioned before online on forums and stuff, but one of the better depictions of LA in modern films is actually Fast and the Furious. If you watch that movie, the neighborhoods in LA are very hilly and like up in hills, very up and down.
Yeah, I didn't expect that either.
And that's how they are. If you go to like, you know, Silver Lake or like other areas, it's a lot of hills going up and parking is downhill and uphill and like weird zigzaggy turns every once in a while.
Yeah, I expected flat and I didn't expect mountains to be here. Like, I don't know what I was saying with the Hollywood sign. Like, it makes sense when I logically think about it.
It's a whole solitary hill in LA that has a
you know,
sign.
But like when I came here, like I was really surprised at all the mountains and the hills and like how things kind of are laid out. It's weird.
I know you're not a gamer, but if you ever get a chance to, or anyone else listening, if you ever played Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, it was so fun to get a game that was based in Southern California. But that the scale of that game is stupid, and how long it takes you to get from one point to the other. It's almost to scale. It will take you like 20 minutes to take your car from like Orange County to LA County in that game, in their respect, like their weird
areas.
That's
without traffic.
Without traffic, just a game. I mean, it's only one speed, but still. But it's crazy how big LA is. People don't understand sometimes that there's a lot of traffic because everyone's trying to get somewhere that's nowhere near close to them.
Yeah, like I try to explain to people back home that while I live like 12 miles from work, it takes me, if I go in the middle of traffic, it takes me over an hour to get to work. They do not understand this concept.
Yeah, and also the fact that the streets are always terrible with potholes and everything.
I mean, like, the amount of traffic it causes to fill one of those potholes up is ridiculous. And, like, I don't understand why they don't do it at night. Like, I always see a lot of construction during the day on, like, main roads. Like, I get, like, on, like, residential streets to do that during the day. That's so you don't disturb people at night. But, like, why not work?
Taxes, Crystal, taxes.
Well, I don't.
Taxes.
It would cost just as much money to do it during the day as it would at night.
Taxes.
Shut up. That's not stop it. You're like, that's my taxes.
Taxes.
If my taxes can pay for Michael Jackson's funeral, my taxes can pay for better streets.
Did they? I thought they covered it with, like, private money.
I don't think so. Well, it's all suspect.
I forgot about that. The King of Pop is dead, everyone.
I shouldn't be laughing.
But here you are. Do you ever see yourself settling down here?
No. I think I see myself starting my career here to a point where I can work from wherever I want. And then
that's
I'm
the dream,
leaving this fucking city.
That's the dream.
That's the dream.
I live close to my baseball team, and that's a plus.
That's nice.
But when I moved back down here from the Bay Area, I don't think I've had an allergy-free week since I moved back. I constantly stuffed up. It's very noticeable that the weather is worse down here.
That's ironic because it's so much more weathery up there.
Yeah, but it's crisper. It's like just
cleaner.
Yeah, it is. A lot cleaner. Like it's colder, but I feel like that contributes to like having just fresher air. There's a lot of trees. Like it's really nice.
I think it'll just take a couple of months. How long have you been back? A
couple months.
It took me like, I used to have nosebleeds because I'm from a humid area, and it's so fucking dry out here. It took a couple of years where I wouldn't have like regular nosebleeds. So your body just needs to adjust again. And it's not as quick as anybody ever wants your body to adjust to anything, you know?
I asked you what was the misconception when you moved in here. Did you have a fear of something when you moved here that you found to be unfounded?
No. I mean, like, not like people tried to warn me. Like, I got lectures all the time. Lock your door when you get gas, and because, like, where I come from, like, it's not unusual for someone to leave like their back door unlocked so that their neighbor can come in and get sugar if they want it.
That is fucking creepy.
Like things like, why?
Leave my door unlocked so my neighbor can come and get sugar?
Yeah, like you would be like, you're in your house and you need sugar, and so you call your neighbor who isn't home, like, I need sugar, can I go get some? They're like, yeah, the back door's open. That's not unusual.
In L.A. it is.
Yes, in L.A. So, like, I would get lectures like that, and, like, you know, if I was getting gas to lock my doors and, like, things like that. And so everyone there, I was like, I'm, like, I don't know what it is about me, but I've never been the kind of person that was afraid of my surroundings. Like, I can... Like, when I was in New York, I walked around New York, and I was never, like, afraid for my life. I also never walked down, like, dark alleys by myself because I'm not an idiot, but you know what I mean? Like, I could comfortably walk around, like, when we were in school, like, I would walk around Hollywood by myself all the time, and I just wasn't afraid. But I also stayed on lit streets, and, like, I knew where I was going, and, like, I just, maybe because I was there all the time because I fucking lived at school, that I was comfortable. But, like, I've never been with those people that were... Like, I feel like I'm highly logical, and I don't do stupid things like walk down a dark alley by myself or, you know, things like that, you know.
I definitely understand that. The funny thing is, even when I was in film school, walking in my car or anything, I always, I mean, maybe to date, who knows, question mark, I always was on the defensive, I guess, if you can say. I always have a habit of carrying, like, a pocket knife with me, and I'd be lying if I said that every time I left school, I wasn't holding to that pocket knife, ready to take it out.
Really?
Yeah, it's LA still scares me a little bit, you know? I understand, I tried staying to lit areas and stuff, but sometimes I just get freaked out in LA still.
Like, I mean, like, Hollywood. I feel like, you know, pay attention to your surroundings, and if there's someone that's coming toward you that you feel that's kind of sketch, to kind of brace yourself and be on the lookout for that. But, like, that's just stuff I do instinctively. But, like, I don't know. I've never been afraid. Like, I don't know why I'm not one of those people that aren't more, I don't know. So, no, not really.
No, you mentioned you want to be a writer. When did you realize writing was your forte?
I think a little bit after, like, when I came here for film school, I took a screenwriting class. I thought maybe it was something that I wanted to do, but, like, looking back on my life, all the things that I ever enjoyed doing that made me happy, that I was interested in, when boiled down to their simplest form of storytelling. Like, I did community theater growing up. I did voice singing. I'm a huge reader, have been since, I think, 5th, 6th grade.
I have this theory that I tell everyone that I equate the stupidity of young people to their lack of reading.
It's true.
I think if you don't read, you're going to end up being stupid.
Yeah, you should meet some of my nieces.
If you don't read. And when people say, I don't like to read, I'm like, then how do you live?
I
how do you read signs? Like, how do you, you know?
That's funny.
You're reading,
like,
every
time. Literally.
You should be dead from all the warning signs you ignored by now, but you're alive, so you read something. But,
right.
So do you have, if it all works out, everything clicks together, where do you want to be in 10 to 15 years?
Hopefully have my own production company, making film and television.
Do you have a name for that?
Bev Joe Productions.
And you told me that's your...
Bev Joe, Beverly Joe is my mom's name.
Okay, so it'd be
Bev. People called her Bev.
Okay.
No one steal that. It's mine.
No one steal it. She will beat you.
I will come and cut you.
She will. See, you're very violent.
I know. I'm the youngest of 5. Leave me alone.
Youngest of 5?
Mm-hmm.
Did I know that? I don't know. Let's say I didn't know that. How old is your oldest sibling?
My sister April is, I think, 40 now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there's a 13-year, I don't know, what's 13 years older than 27? That's how old my oldest sister is.
What's 13 years older than 27? That's a gap 40. There. That's a gap there. When you were born,
she was 13.
She was, you know.
Mm-hmm. My first niece was born when I was 6. Both the oldest siblings are girls, and they are both teenage moms.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you want kids?
Hell no.
No, because?
Because I have 14 nieces and 4 nephews.
So you have enough already?
Yeah, I don't need it.
Okay.
I think that if I ever met the right guy and we wanted children, I would adopt. But there's no fucking way I'm going through pregnancy. It's not happening ever.
So if the 11th doctor said, I'm going to knock you up, but leave after, is that a yes or a no?
No. No.
Unless he's staying and paying.
Not even.
Really?
My body will never go through pregnancy. I will never love a man that much.
Wow. Wow.
I'm very adamant about that.
Wow, yeah.
If you love me and want to have children, we're going to adopt or we're going to have problems.
Like, I know. Hopefully when they have like synthetic wombs that you can have a baby.
Great, we can have a surrogate.
Like,
I'm fine with that.
A fridge.
But we can have a surrogate. That's fine. But there's so many children out there that need a home. Why not just... I don't need my blood to be in your body for me to love you. Like, that's not... If a child needs a home, I'm pretty good.
Okay, good.
Like, I don't...
No kids.
No kids. No kids. No bearing of children.
I'm sure you'll save a lot on diapers. I'm sure.
I'm sure. But I think if I was going to have a child at that point, I'd be financially stable enough to afford...
Yeah, I guess it works out.
I mean, I'm smart.
Can that be on your business card? Crystal Lewis, I'm smart. A question I need to ask everyone who's going to be doing this. What's your favorite movie and why?
That is such a loaded question.
I know, but I guess I'll clarify. What's a movie that you can watch anytime on any channel, at any point you come across it, and just keep watching it because you like it so much?
Jesus Christ.
You can narrow it down if you want. You can give me...
Stay is probably one of them.
Why?
Have you ever seen that movie?
No.
I'm not surprised. It was in theaters for like 2 days. It's by Mark Forster, who did Finding Neverland.
Mm-hmm.
And it's visually one of the
most... Did that come before or after?
Stay, I think, was before?
Okay.
Maybe? No, maybe after. I don't remember. It's one of those films that's such a mind fuck that every time that you watch it, you figure something out new. Like, I think it took me like the fifth time to realize that in every scene, that like in scene A, there was something in the background or like on the table beside the character that like then transitioned into the next scene so that you would see it in some way or another in the next scene. Like, there's this one scene that takes place in a bookstore, and in the back wall of the bookstore, there is a painting of manatees like hanging on the wall, and then the next scene takes place at an aquarium and they're standing in front of a manatee tank. Like, things like that.
Mm-hmm. And that's the whole movie?
Like, that happens throughout the entire movie, yeah.
It's pretty cool.
You should watch it. It's an insanely good movie.
Has that movie inspired you in any way in your craft?
I don't know. It's made me appreciate the people behind the scenes that take care to do that. You know what I mean? Like, you see it in a lot of shows now where they take like the smallest, most insignificant thing on the table beside the actor that is very significant if you're paying attention. Like, that's become a trend now in shows, if you've noticed. Like, Tumblr points out a lot.
Give me an example.
Like, on Sherlock, it happens a lot. Do you watch BBC's Sherlock?
I love Sherlock. It's great.
So, like, there's little hints of things that's happening, you know what I mean? Like, there, like, all these theories that are happening where he's in the lab one day and he's, like, playing with the bouncy ball, and there's a, in another scene, I don't know if it's in the same episode, but there's another scene that he talks about how do you fake no pulse, and he's like, oh, easy, a ball in the armpit will stop the flow, so there's no, and so that's a theory about how he faked his death, like.
Okay.
Just, like, things like that, like, tying together, like, British TV does it so fucking well, where they drop hints, but, like, in such a subtle way that it takes you into, like, oh, my God, and that, and then, like, you connect them, and that kind of storytelling is amazing to me, and I definitely want to be that good.
Okay, well, then they have a standard to work up to. And just to flip that, what's your, what movie do you hate? What movie do you...
God, I hate a lot of movies.
I know, but there's... The way I'll pose the question is, there's got to be a movie that you want to like, but you just cannot because it's so terrible.
I want to like, but can't because it's so terrible.
Yes. Maybe you were disappointed by it, maybe...
I'm a huge Indiana Jones fan. And when the last one came out and I went to go see it, I was so distraught as a fan when I left that theater that I wanted to kill a baby.
I haven't seen it.
Do not.
But now I want to because I hear it's so bad.
It is. I mean, like, I went to a midnight showing of it, and like, not even halfway through, like all of us, like the whole we were just so fed up that we were just like yelling slanders at it. We're like, are we fucking serious here? And like, we were just complaining. We all stayed. I don't know why, but we all stayed till the end, and we were like, everyone's like, are we fucking we waited this goddamn long for another movie, and this is what they gave us? Oh my gosh. Ugh.
No, calm down.
Ugh. I can't. I can't do it. Oof.
Well, let's see what else. The
I'm really sick of all the remakes too. It's lazy filmmaking to me.
Well, you know, my theory on that is that every generation at some point will be so far removed that they should try to put a new take on it. I'm not saying it'll supersede the original. I'm just saying there's always room for a fresh take on everything.
This is my thing. That's great. Take the story, make it your own. Don't name the characters the same. Don't name it the same fucking title. Don't take scenes out of the original and line by line, frame by frame, make it exactly the same.
Well, who's done that? Besides Psycho.
I haven't seen the remake of Psycho.
Well, yeah,
but lots of remakes have. Footloose is...
Oh, God.
I love shitty dance movies. It's not even funny. All the step-ups.
You were psyched up for Step Up. When you posted that, I was like, are you joking or are you being serious?
I mean, I know they're complete shit, but I have so much fun in them.
Did you watch it in 3D?
No. Okay. I hate 3D. Like, I like 3D in small doses, but otherwise it gives me a headache. Like, I saw The Hobbit in 2D. Like, I much prefer 2D.
My biggest gripe about 3D is that people... And maybe it's from a technical standpoint, it bothers the hell out of me. The moment you put on those glasses, it darkens the image. So you lose, like, the luminosity, I think that's the word, of, like, the film. So you're watching everything a shade darker. And I don't know if that's how it's meant to be or if I'm watching
maybe they compensate for that?
No, because I feel like... Once you put those glasses on, it just the hues change so drastically for me that I feel like I'm not watching the original thing anymore. I feel like I'm watching this through 3D glasses. And it's cool to add depth to it, but really, like, I don't need depth added in a film.
Yeah,
I mean, the whole craft of filmmaking is to add depth to a 2D image, and that's what they've been doing for God knows how many years. I don't need a fake process to show me depth, because I'm already being shown depth.
Right.
My imagination's working. They're basically killing my imagination at this point. And it's stupid. I don't like it.
I think it's used too much. Like, I'm ready for that fab to go away.
I don't think it'll go away. If anything, hopefully filmmakers find a way to make it the right tool for the right storytelling.
I agree that there's a place and time for it.
Yeah.
Do I agree that every movie should be 3D? No.
No, it shouldn't. No, God, no. No. What were we talking about? I forgot. Movies you hate, and you hated Footloose, and you love shitty dance movies.
I fucking love shitty dance movies.
Did you ever watch Rise, the documentary?
No, what is that about?
I'll show it to you. It's about like I think it's one about crumping. I think it's about like urban like dances. Like it's amazing, especially the way it's shot. It it's so good. It's a few years old. I'll show it to you.
There's a fun aspect to crappy movies.
They're like, do you have a favorite crappy movie? Something that's complete trash, but you're
She's the Man?
She's the Man. Is that the one
where... The Man of Vines? It's like a modern day take of the Shakespeare play. What's it called? Much Ado About Nothing?
Yes.
No.
No. I don't know Shakespeare.
It's
like, yes.
I think maybe it's Much Ado About Nothing.
Let's go with it. They'll correct us. Who will correct us? I don't know. They'll correct
us. Someone will correct us.
It's probably going to be you.
It's probably going to be me?
Yeah. Email me later with the answer.
But yeah, I have that on DVD. I'm not going to lie. And I quote it a lot and no one catches on.
That's the saddest inside joke because you'd be quoting it, waiting for the reply or like waiting for like someone to get it. You're like, nope.
Oh, nothing. No, I know no one's ever going to get it. And the first person that does, we're going to be soulmates. It's going to be great.
It's ridiculous.
But yeah. So there's one.
Have you had, if you want to name names, because I'm not sure if you have, you never told me, any unpleasant run-ins with any quote-unquote celebrity since you've been working in the industry? I mean, on the street, at the job.
I try not to bother them when I see them.
Typically, you know, like even when I see them, I would just be like, you know, I'm doing a job and I don't need to bother you. But every once in a while, you kind of like, you know, get a whiff of like some assholery that's going on somewhere else. And you're like, oh.
I have never been in the receiving end of that, no.
Okay.
yet.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's coming.
Eventually it's going to get there.
I remember I was the first season of Longmire. We worked on the...
Is that show still on?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, the first season's over and it's coming back for a second season. But we work on a lot that is the same lot that Castle works on.
Oh, cool.
That shoots on, and so Nathan Fillion.
How are you not being a creep on that lot?
I try so hard, you don't even know. You don't even know. And I spent like months trying to accidentally, quote unquote, accidentally run into him. But it's so creepy. And then it always happens like an unexpected time. Like, and I wasn't even planning for this to happen. I was walking across the lot to drop off FedEx because it's on the complete other side of the lot than where our offices are at. And like I'm walking back and not really paying attention, and I'm listening to music on my headphones. And all I see is someone on one of those like push scooters with the tall handlebars.
Yes.
And I go, awesome. And I look up and it's fucking Nathan Fillion. He goes, thanks. And just keeps going. And I was like, oh my God, me and Nathan Fillion, we exchanged, we're best friends. Oh my God. Oh, and I just like freaked out. And like, he's already gone and like, probably doesn't remember me whatsoever. But like, I had an exchange with Nathan Fillion and it was completely unplanned. And I wasn't trying to be stalkery, and it just happened and it was beautiful.
Now, if you spotted him before that, how would that exchange
I'd seen him like driving onto the lot and stuff, but I'd always been in a position where I couldn't stop or like I had to do something. And like,
but
granted, I'm a fangirl, yeah. But I have a job to do and I have to like.
But if you did see him there before, do you take the headphones off? Do you like get ready to say something specifically? Have you practiced something?
I have not. One of the editors that I work with, someone that she's maybe related to or worked with before works on Castle, and I got to take a tour of the sets, and they were shooting the last episode at the time, so I was like in the same room as him too, and like they were in the police station, but they were filming so I couldn't bother them. But I got to like walk through the sets, and I went into like his character's law, like his New York apartment, and I was like, oh my God, he sits here. I was such a creeper. It was fantastic.
Oh, that's awesome though. I used to, when I was interning at the WB lot, and go get coffee, get it at the coffee shop.
It's Starbucks?
Called, yeah, but it says Central Perk outside, right?
Yeah.
For a long time, I was like, hey, that's kind of clever. Never knew what that was from. I was like, I don't get what this was. Isn't that from Friends?
Yeah.
And someone,
no, Central, is it Central Perk in Friends?
I don't know.
Google.
Oh God, I have to Google this now. And I swear, and like for a long time, I was like, "That's a clever name."
Like
and
I know it's. I don't know if it. I don't know. I know it's from something. I just never knew what it was.
I always thought it was from Friends, and I was like, "Oh man, I don't like Friends."
You don't?
No.
I've never met someone who didn't like Friends. Go on.
I'm not turning into a show about me. I don't like Friends, and I don't like Italian food.
How do you not like pasta?
I don't. I just don't.
What?
You know.
You are broken as a human being.
It is from Friends, actually.
Okay.
I'm not a big fan of tomato or garlic or onions or cheeses that aren't cheddar. So
for any cheese that's not cheddar.
I'm very out of the
I'm not the target
demographic for Italian food.
Is cheddar the only cheese you eat?
No, I'll eat cheddar and I'll eat
you have to eat mozzarella because you eat pizza.
I eat mozzarella.
But only on pizza?
Yeah, or by itself. I could just buy mozzarella and like be happy,
wow.
Or like Mexican cheeses. But beyond that, it's but that's just cultural. I have to like Mexican cheese. Even then, I don't like spicy foods, so I'm barely
you like spicy food.
No,
I have never met a Mexican who didn't like spicy food.
I love hot wings, but I don't like spicy. Like I don't eat me and Janina, my girlfriend, got breakfast burritos yesterday. She's the one that asked for pico de gallo sauce. I was like, oh please, no sauce on mine. So.
You're so weird.
I'm a strange one.
I don't like a lot of southern things.
Like, what would be considered a southern thing?
Like, I don't like sweet tea.
You know what's funny? I never even knew what the hell sweet tea was until it kept being mentioned on To Catch a Predator. And I was like, what the hell is sweet tea? And then I saw it everywhere. And I was like, oh, it's
yeah,
like...
Yeah, Predator's really into that sweet tea shit.
So it's... Because every time the girl would be like, oh, I'm going to make some sweet tea. Just wait for me in the kitchen. And I was like, sweet tea? So isn't it just iced tea with sugar?
Yeah, like, it's like Lipton's...
It's funny, because to me, iced tea is sweet tea. But I, you know...
It's like Lipton's brewed from the bag, like brown tea with shit ton of sugar in it. And it's the most disgusting shit ever. Like, I like green tea. I like black teas. I like herbal teas. Like, I'm into it all. But sweet tea, get it away. And, like, a huge meal for where I'm from is pinto beans and cornbread. You do pinto beans, and you do cornbread, and then you do fried potatoes.
Wait, how do you make the pinto beans?
What do you mean? On the stove. Cook them for a long time.
Are they, like, in their own, like, watery sauce?
No. Well, you soak them, and then you cook them in water and spices and chop up onions, and, like, you cook them over time.
I see. It's almost kind of like a... close to a chili?
Kind of,
okay, yeah.
But like that's like a staple meal, pinto beans, cornbread.
Really?
And then fried potatoes. I almost said taters.
Potatoes?
Yeah, potatoes. And I hate pinto beans and I hate cornbread.
As a Mexican, that's like our rice for Asians, pinto beans.
Our rice for Asians?
Yeah. You know how Asian people make rice? That's not a stereotype, people. I mean, they like rice, and I love rice. And when I went to my girlfriend's house, I ate a shit ton of rice.
Just rice?
Just rice. And she looked at me like I was like a fucking like monster. She's like, why are you just eating plain rice? And I'm like, because it's delicious by itself.
No, it's not.
It is. It tastes like nothing, but it tastes like everything.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Like, white rice, when done right, is so delicious. It's like eating...
You ever had... Puerto Ricans do this like sticky yellow rice, and it's like the most delicious shit I've ever had in my life.
No, but I think I've seen it.
It's so good. My sister, her ex, her two kids' dad, he is Puerto Rican, so she knows how to make all the Puerto Rican food. And, oh, it's so good. Mm-hmm.
It's funny how I didn't know that the pinto beans were a thing in the South.
They're big.
I really don't know anyone who makes it out here besides Mexican people.
Well, I don't foresee a lot of Southern out here. Fried green tomatoes, though, they're the shit.
I hate tomatoes. I'm out.
Does it taste like a red tomato?
What does it taste like?
Like a fried green tomato.
That's not a good convincing argument.
Well, at least try it before you dismiss it.
I guess.
One maybe. Bite's not going to kill you. You can spit it out if it's really that gross.
I will, and I'll make a bad face, too.
Can I see an example?
My girlfriend knows.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's like a...
It's like a crying baby with a beard. It was weird.
A baby with a beard. That's a terrible image.
I know. Imagine what I just had to see.
What? I mean, you and I, when we went to film school...
We didn't really hang out that much in film school.
We didn't hang out that much, really. But we were assigned, and you... A little history. You were my first, quote-unquote, producer on my first short film that I had to make.
Was I? What was the short film about?
It was the one that we did, with the one with Brittany Taylor.
I don't remember what it was about, though. I did a lot of projects.
It was the first one that I had someone produce for me, and it was the one... We had to read... It was a piece from a...
Oh, that's right. We had to pick a scene from a movie and recreate it, right?
Yeah, but they told us which movies to pick it from.
Right.
And I remember that it was your job to bring... your quote-unquote job to bring, like, the breakfast, like, the orange juice and, like, the...
Did I?
Bagels. You did, but I don't know why I went and bought more. And so we had doubles of everything. And then you're like, why did you bring that? I was like, I don't know. I just thought I should
bring
some.
Did I call you an idiot?
I think you kind of probably did in your mind. But we didn't really hang out much in film school.
Was I a decent producer?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the only one that I remember shooting.
Very good.
Yeah. And it was... It was fun, but I don't remember us interacting much beyond that.
But our class just kind of broke off into groups that would do a whole bunch of stuff together, and like we just weren't in the same group.
We just probably weren't in the same group. But once, I guess the question is, what was the biggest thing you learned coming out of that school? Because people will say you don't need school to get into the industry. It's really just kind of like a politics and luck thing, and it's true. Like a lot of the school.
Yeah, and also like experience will trump a degree any day in this business.
Yeah, it will. But once you got there, was there something enlightening about film school that you didn't know before?
Besides just like the general knowledge that I accumulated in the different aspects of the business. That's what I wanted. I wanted like a basic understanding of the business, and then I wanted to throw myself in. Because that's how I learn. Like, I learn by doing.
Yeah. So was there anything that was new knowledge to you? Apart from
like, I knew it would be hard. But I think like listening, because all of our teachers were basically like active in the business. Like, we're also working in the business. And so just like hearing them talk about the business, like, I realized how much of a political game it is and, like, how incredibly difficult it actually is.
It is.
And, like, I expected it to be hard, but I expected it to just be hard work, you know? Like, I expected, like, I didn't expect getting in, like, the initial start of it, like, finding, like, an entry job, getting into it would be so difficult. I thought that, like, once you're in, like, it was difficult to work your way up. Like, I was not at all prepared. And, like, the shitty thing is when we got out of film school, it was right around all the strikes.
Yes. Oh, my God. The writer's strike.
And then the...
so many opportunities for us.
And then the actor strike, like...
Was that after or before?
I think it was after, but there was, like, two strikes back to back.
The actor strike, I think, was after, yes.
Literally happened the minute we got out of film school.
I remember them picketing outside the Arclight Theater.
Yeah.
I remember that, and I was thinking, holy shit, I picked the wrong year to come here. You know, I think now it's getting back on its feet, but it's still tough.
It really sucks how much production has left L.A., though.
That's nobody's fault but the people who run L.A.
I
really don't think
it's... Well, also a lot to do with the taxes that Schwarzenegger took away.
Again, it's the people who run these things. Like, if you know, if you're known for an industry, why would you let that industry go?
I agree. Yeah, it was a stupid move. And he came from the industry, which is even more bizarre to me. But I'm hoping it turns around soon.
Exactly. He came from an industry that had no relevance
how the fuck did that happen?
To public service. So why would you elect a man? I remember that. That was ridiculous. It was like a fucking movie, to be honest.
I couldn't believe it either. Now he's like back making movies. That's so bizarre.
It's bizarre because it's like, I feel like it's like, oh, look, he failed that one job. He's back to doing what he used to do before. It's right. Like, he got off easy. Everyone else who is, you know, unemployed didn't. But it was a fun time at the film school.
It was a long year.
It was a long year. It was the first time I'm living alone, and that was weird to me. Was that the first time you were living alone? Or away from, like...
Away from family and stuff? Yeah. No, I went to, the film school wasn't the first school that I'd gone to.
Oh, yeah.
So I'd been living alone a year, 2 years before that. So, no. Like, I got out of Morristown as soon as I could.
Any place that ends in town seems a little fishy. Jamestown, Morristown.
What's wrong with Jamestown?
Did a bunch of people die in Jamestown?
I don't know. Where's Jamestown?
I don't know.
Washington?
No. Isn't that where
Virginia,
that
guy
gave him the Kool-Aid?
What?
The Kool-Aid
guy? Don't know if that... Was that Jamestown?
I thought so.
We'll
Google it later.
And then we'll add they'll correct
annotations
inside.
To this.
Footnote number one.
Do you remember your first interaction with me? Or at least the first memory that you have of our interaction.
I think it was during not orientation, but our first day of classes where we got, like, our first assignment. I think that you were sitting near me, and I introduced myself. I said, hi, I'm Crystal.
Maybe.
I remember because you had a hat on and a jacket with a hoodie and weird sneakers.
I was wearing weird sneakers then?
That's not a surprise, let's be honest.
It's not a surprise, but...
I remember you were sitting near Jennings.
Yes, I think I remember that. I remember I came late, too, to the orientation because I was still living out here, like, in Norwalk. And I remember I had to drive to school the first, like, week because I didn't have a place yet. And I remember I got there late, and they were already talking. But the guy was talking. What's the guy's name? The guy with the long hair?
Dominic.
He was talking. And I remember that's when I came. I was like, oh, shit, I'm late for my first day. Great. But my only my recollection of you is actually when you came with the orange juice and the bagels.
That was that's your first memory of me?
That is. I don't remember anything.
I feel like
that.
We spoke before that.
I'm sure we did.
We had classes for like.
Oh, I'm sure we did, but I have no recollection.
A month before then.
No recollection at all.
You were also in all of. You did producing. You were in all my producing classes, right?
Yeah, we were. Yeah, we were.
We had the producing lab. You were in there a lot.
Yes, I remember that. I have no recollection of any of that.
We used to, like, a group of us in the very beginning would all walk to, like, that place on Cahuenga, like, for lunch.
Baja Fresh?
Oh, God, no. No, it was on Cahuenga. It was up a little bit. It was, like, the little cafe. It was, like, yellow.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the little cafe. Yeah. Yeah, I remember that little cafe.
Remember that.
Yeah.
Were you in the class that, like... We were in the theater, and we heard a loud noise, and we walked out, and it was the car that went through that building across the street, like the glass, building on the corner of Ivar and Sunset, like the car crashed through the glass, and it was like during under construction, so nobody actually got hurt. But like,
no, I wasn't there for that class. But some other random ass night when my friends would come visit me from down here, they would park in the school parking structure, the one that we had on Ivar. Uh-huh. And one night, they would park there. I would drive there and drive back to my apartment, like on, like on.
Was it easier than finding parking around your?
Yes, because my parking in my apartments was all taken up all the time, and I dropped him off, and the moment I dropped him off, as they were pulling out, some dude at the Jack in the Box across the street plowed into the takeout sign, and just took off.
That doesn't really surprise me.
It was ridiculous. I was like, "What the hell just happened?" But no, I don't remember that car crashing through. I remember the fire over the hill. We're all looking at the fire coming over the ridge.
Oh yeah, and this one's like, "We're all gonna die." And I was so like naive at that point. I was like, "Oh my god!" What? And like I kept getting all these phone calls from my family.
Really?
They're like, "Is it close?" I'm like, "I can see the smoke." And they're like, "Oh my god, get out of the city."
I remember the fire. I was like, "Oh look, the fire!" And I was like, "Oh great." I was like, "Let's go back home."
So wasn't it kids that try to light off fireworks?
I think so, but it was a crazy that fire yeah. was. Going for a while.
That's the one that burned down part of Universal, right? I mean, the NBC backlot?
Maybe. Maybe. I don't remember. I
don't either.
That.
There's lots of fires.
I wouldn't be surprised if it singed the amphitheater or something. But I felt that school helped us a lot at the same time. You know?
I mean, yeah.
You got out what you gave in, so.
It's true. Mm. You all right?
Yeah, I'm right. I had a hiccup there. That's weird.
That was a hiccup?
Yeah. No, sorry, a burp. Sorry. Different. slightly different.
Just slightly.
In the general vicinity, but slightly different. if someone were to move to L.A., from you know, regardless of where they're coming from, what piece of advice would you give them?
Oh, my God. I don't know. I mean, it depends on the person. Does that make sense? Like,
it depends on the person. I guess I would, but I mean, someone like you, like if you could, you know, DeLorean back to you know, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, six years, 7 years ago. Jesus Christ!
Oh, don't say that. Oh my God, I feel so old right now.
What would you tell?
No, it'll be 7 years in August.
What would you tell that Crystal?
This is gonna sound really cynical.
Oh, I'm all cynic'd
up. Be weary of who you trust.
Yeah, I mean that's a perfectly like especially coming to any big city. That's perfect. Like
I come from a place where
people leave the door open for sugar.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so it took me a few minutes. It took me a couple of stings of quote unquote friendship to realize that you have to be careful who you trust and who you keep close.
Yes, it's a very
people will take and take and take from you, and not give a flying fuck. You have to find those people that are good and believe in give and take in a friendship and want the best for you.
Most definitely. I think that's one of the... That seems like a general rule, though, wherever you go.
But not to someone who didn't grow up having to
do
that.
I guess, yeah.
Like, it seems super logical now, but like...
I guess that's why I still hold on to my pocket knife when I walk to my car.
Right. But like, yeah. So like, I mean, I had lots of really good friends back home and... They were never just shitty for no reason, if that makes sense. Like, yeah. We all just kind of relied on each other. And, like, when shit hit the fan, like, you were just always there for them. Because that's, to us, that's just what friendship is. You know, if someone had a death in the family or, you know, something happened and someone needed you, you and 15 other people were there. Because to us, that's what friendship was. Be it if you were best friends with them or be it that, you know, you guys just hung out occasionally. Every now and then, like,
yeah.
it's very like community oriented where I'm from.
Yeah,
that is the plus side of small towns and the negative side of big towns. But there's lots of plus and negatives to each.
Yeah, I mean that's a good advice to give anyone. Yeah,
it sounds stupid and logical, but that's something I didn't realize.
Yeah, you know that makes sense. Perfectly well put. Don't trust nobody.
That's right.
Yeah.
Look out for yourself. Number one.
Always carry a pocket knife.
Always carry a pocket knife.
Yeah, that's what I'm gonna say.
And or a mace. Or. And a stun gun.
When you said mace, I thought of a medieval mace. I was like, why the fuck would you carry a medieval?
That's what I meant.
Okay. You got it at the Ren Fair, I imagine.
Oh, yeah.
Have you been to a Ren Fair?
My first one was when I went to New York.
Really?
Yeah.
How was that?
It was so fucking fun.
I've never been. I want to go, but tell me.
One day wasn't enough. And it was really hot, and they were, ready to leave after, I think 4 hours. But I was like, I could stay all day. Let's do this.
What happens at a Ren Fair?
Renaissance things. You can shoot arrows, and, there's, there's jousting, and there's booths, and, food, and, different things like that.
But, when you walk in there, do you pay admission, or is every booth kind of its own price?
No, you pay admission.
And then everything's nuts at? Or
No, you pay admission, and then you pay for... there's, shows and stuff that are free for, generally. That's pretty much what you pay to get in for. Mm-hmm. There's, a parade, and there's jousting, and there's a princess, and there's knights, and there's a king and a queen, and, all of that stuff. But then there's, each booth either sells food or, a lot of this shit's handmade, and that's really cool, and, you pay for all of that, yeah.
Okay, that's cool. I definitely want to go to one day, see what I find.
I hear the one out here is pretty good.
The one here lasts for, 2 months, I think. It just goes on forever.
Yeah. The one in New York that we went to was outside the city, but, the place that we were at, the land that they were on, was mm-hmm. basically just for the Ren Fair.
I think I read an article online, I think, about how a bunch of steampunk people were showing up at Ren Fairs more often now.
I saw some of them, yeah.
And I thought, first of all, they don't fit in, period. Because, no. And I thought it'd be funny if someone dressed up as Marty McFly and showed up at a Ren Fair. or as the doctor showed up at a Ren Fair.
Oh my God, the doctor. Mm.
Jeez. There we go. I need to watch Doctor Who.
Oh my God.
I will catch up on Doctor Who. And I will see what all this Whovian thing is about. Yeah. And Gallifrey, and we were talking about this right before we started, is that, give me a quick rundown on what that is.
Gallifrey is the planet that the Doctor's from, and Gallifreyan is the native language.
Okay. Do they ever demonstrate it on the show?
You see the writing, but, oh my God, there's so much to tell you.
No spoilers.
You never hear it because the TARDIS has this thing that it does in, the reason why you can understand no matter what century they're in, no matter where they're at, you understand the other person that's talking is because the TARDIS translates it for you in your mind. So no matter what they're speaking, you're hearing English.
I see. Okay. So they're talking in their native language, and then you're...
But, yeah. But what you, the audience, and what the companions are hearing is the TARDIS translating for you.
Okay. That's good. That's good. And, we're going to be wrapping up soon. Thank you for talking with me. What episode of what show has made you cry?
God, what episode of what show hasn't made me cry?
Which one made you cry the most? And they have something else after that.
Are you kidding me? Do you know the shows I watch? They're all sad.
Which one's made you the saddest, obviously? So which one has made you the saddest? Which one even just...
You don't understand. All my fandoms give me pain.
That we got to explore that at some point. Maybe with a... psychiatrist. Psychiatrist.
It's like you get so
this is entertainment version of BDSM. You gotta
you get so attached to these. It's true. You get so attached to these characters, and you want nothing but good things for them. And then the writers are like, fuck that.
You know what's funny, and I'll say when I've been writing my Penguin Air Force story.
Yeah, when's that coming to light? What's happening with
hopefully,
that?
Hopefully soon, if I can, stop podcasting, start writing more. the one main notion that I keep thinking of is I want my audience to cry their fucking eyes out at the end.
The trick is to, I think, as a writer, to kind of make these characters, if not relatable, someone that you want to root for irregardless.
Yes.
But then put them through hell.
Yeah, definitely. And give them choices that have bleak outcomes. Is you know,
like there's no win-win situation, but you have to choose one or the other.
Yeah, there's a better choice, but there's never a win-win, and then you just have to like, you know, put them through hell. I just want to make people cry, because I feel like when you cry, it's when you obviously become really attached to something.
Absolutely. And it sounds really weird, but like my favorite kind of songs are sad songs, because it's weird. Not because I like being sad. It's because that to me is the strongest emotion, and I like things that make
me feel. Now, can you tell apart a fake sad song to a more authentic sad song?
What do you mean?
Like, can you listen to a song that's sad and be like, that just doesn't sound, you know, like sincere? Fake?
I think it's more in the way the person sings it opposed to the words. Does that make sense? Yeah. Like, how much emotion is in the artist's voice?
So which episode of what show has made you cry the most?
Oh, my. It's probably Doctor Who, let's be honest. I know the book that made me cry the most.
What book is that?
It was the 6th Harry Potter. Like, when Dumbledore died, I literally had to put the book down and sob in my bed. Like, I curled up into a ball and I cried.
Really?
Like, as if I'd lost my best friend.
Wow.
Not even kidding you.
Did that happen again when you saw the movie? Or were you ready for it?
It didn't happen again in the 6th movie, but Dobby was always one of my favorite characters. And when he died in the movies, I started crying before it was going to happen because I knew it was coming. And then, like, I was just hysterical. Just hysterical. Then, like, the second part opens up, like, with his... Like, I cried when Bellatrix throws the knife because I'm like, I know what happens. And then he dies at the end, and then it opens up with, like, Harry at his grave. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I'm done. Like, I just started crying again.
You lost it at the first, like, scene in second
absolutely.
Part.
Well, like, also the second part, like, I'm watching this, and, like, the title's coming up. I'm like, this is the last time that... Like, last time it's going to be at midnight, last time I'm going to be dressed up, like, the last time, like, all these people are going to be, that has this much passion for this, are going to be in the same place. Mm-hmm. Like, it was a very emotional night. But, like, the dude, I went with a friend, but, like, the dude next to me, like, cried through all the credits. He's like, this is never going to happen again. And he's, like, hysterical. I'm just like, that's too much.
That night,
like,
he went and killed himself.
Maybe.
Oh God! I was going to ask you regarding that. You didn't when you were at the movie theater. So I was about people crying when we saw the part two of the last one. People were audibly crying out loud in the theater. Like, I could hear like people sobbing.
Oh yeah, me too.
But I never saw the one where Dumbledore dies in theaters. Were people sobbing at that one as well? Do you remember people crying? Do you remember like more people being emotional?
I don't remember. I remember my sadness. And like the second part of the last one, like a lot of the deaths were done so well, like very subtly. Like Remus and Tonks, like them on the cot side by side with like their hands just barely touching. Like I'm like, fuck you. That is beautiful. And just like you just tore my heart apart. That was like it's showing the characters and giving respect that they passed away, but not
exploiting kind of their death.
Yeah, and not going over the top with it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's sad, and those were such loved characters, but they did it in such a, like, a beautiful way of showing it and not being disrespectful and not being over the top and, yeah, exploiting it, that it made me kind of tip my hat to the filmmakers. Because, mm-hmm. like, if I compare the books to the movies, I get very upset.
Okay.
But if I look at them as two different entities, I enjoy the movies very much as what they are, but the books will always and are superior to the movies by far.
I've never read them. I want to read them.
That's sad. And
I'm going to read them. Hold on. Calm down. Slow down. Okay. Janina loves them, so I told her I'm going to read them. And I love the movies, so I thought, you know, I want to read the books, and I guess I'll like them, hopefully.
I think that you will. Like, once I got old enough to realize that putting absolutely everything in the movies...
It's impossible.
And I started viewing them as two separate things and enjoyed them as separately as what they are. I enjoy the movies much more. I do get very annoyed when they change things for no reason. Mm-hmm. Or they add something that doesn't really give to the story, I think, at all. Like, one of the things that super bothers me, like, it still to this day bothers me, is in the Goblet of Fire, like, the gillyweed that he eats so that he can breathe mm-hmm. underwater, Neville did not give that to him. It was Dobby. And it really pisses me off because I love Dobby, and I wanted him more in the movies, and it was, like, a thing, like...
By the way, from a filmmaking or from a film standpoint, I think that's the worst film of the bunch.
I think the third one's my favorite book, and it's the worst movie. Like, just like,
which one's that one?
It's the A Prisoner of Azkaban. Like, the acting in that is just like, I feel like all of the kid actors were like going through this transition, and they're like, they're all going through puberty, and it's all, they're all like very awkward and like uncomfortable in their skin, like the most in that moment, and like they just, like, the performances in that make me want to throw up.
When I saw Goblet of Fire, I was really excited for it because I was just like, oh, cool, there's a fucking dragon in this, and they're competing it for something. I was just bummed out. I was like, oh, it felt so rushed to me, just from a filmmaking standpoint.
A lot happens in the book.
So. Yeah, and it's what Gina said. She's like, it's a big book. And they just crammed it into one movie, and I was like, that's kind of a bummer. But yeah, so that's, I guess, the worst film that I wanted to like, and I was like, it's a bummer I couldn't like it as more than I did.
I was really excited for the third one because it's my favorite book. It's still my favorite book, and yeah, it was kind of crap.
But that's a movie. TV show that made you cry.
I still don't know.
There's got to be something that's not Doctor Who because of the spoilers.
Supernatural makes me cry very often.
Okay. I know that my girlfriend can't get through Grey's Anatomy without crying.
I don't watch Grey's Anatomy.
She loves Grey's Anatomy. I've only cried a few times, and I said it before, I think, on another podcast. I think it was the one. It's a Futurama episode, but with Fry's dog. Oh, I'll lose my shit if I even talk about it. And the Simpsons one about Christmas where Bart shoplifts. Oh, such a good episode. I need to show you the Simpsons. For someone who loves entertainment, I need to...
I'm not really into a lot of animated stuff.
Okay.
Like, even as a kid, like, I was told I didn't watch cartoons.
I'll find a group to, like, live act it and show you.
Okay, deal.
But
I just don't like that kind of, like, Simpsons humor. Like, I feel like it's, like, what's very popular humor today. It's like cheap jokes. Mm-hmm. Like, you get the fart jokes and, like, the, you know, the grotesque, like, over-the-top, like, sexual... you know, jokes that I think are lazy. Like, I like smart, dry humor, and that's definitely not The Simpsons.
Oh, you have not watched The Simpsons, sister. There is, first of all, sexual. There's nothing sexual about The Simpsons. They're yellow frog-looking things. But the jokes in there, I laugh now out loud because these jokes are so subtle and so under the radar. I'm just like, I never caught that years ago. Now it's like hilarious, sharp on point. I'll educate you on The Simpsons, and then you can talk to me about Doctor Who. But
you need
before
to watch that.
Before we leave, you touched on people were crying at the last Harry Potter screening. It's hard for you to describe sometimes to people who aren't, you know, quote unquote nerds. Such an overused term now.
Geek nerd,
whatever. It's like it's hard to explain how much you can love a fandom to, like, wait outside for hours for something.
That's not true. You just have to find something that's relatable to them. Like,
I know, but I feel like there's people who wouldn't wait, you know, 6 hours outside a line for Hall H at Comic-Con.
Or sleep outside overnight.
You know, or sleep outside. You know, if, you know, people wouldn't do that for, you know, fantasy football, or they wouldn't do that for, you know, like, whatever else, like a record release even anymore. It's like, I feel like it's such a nerdy thing to do now, but... I have a hard time explaining how you can love something so much that's fictional.
Mm-hmm.
So don't you ever feel that sometimes maybe those people just are a little soulless to not love something so much?
I wouldn't say soulless. I think, God.
That's so mean. I mean, I didn't mean it like that. They're not soulless, but I feel like...
a lot of them are just detached, if that makes sense. Like,
I guess there's that detachment.
You know, there's... And there's also that kind of, like...
How would you describe... Like, is it...
Drink water, Christ!
That's your water. That's not my drink. I'll get some. Don't put it on your phone.
It was an accident.
Would you say when you love something more, are you more passionate about it, or do you love it? How would you describe it? Like, if, you know...
Things that I'm more passionate about, do I love it? Yeah, of course I love it.
I know, but saying, like, how would you describe your fandom? Is it more passion? Is it more love? Like,
I just think that they kind of go hand in hand.
So
passion and love. So I mean, like
that's what
I mean. Like, I love something enough to sleep out side of Hall H at Comic-Con for 3 years in a row. Like, that's love, but that's passion. That's passion not only for the story itself, but the people that make it. Like, you, I mean, like, you're just so thankful because it's like the world can be really shitty. And the way, like, people, and I think that the way, quote-unquote, nerds or geeks cope is, like, in other worlds, and they're just so thankful for that, because if we were stuck in our quote like misery or like whatever that we had to deal with on a daily basis, which everyone does have to deal with something, like if we were stuck in that every moment of the day, we would go crazy. So I think it has a lot to do with, like, yes, it's an escape for us, and yes, we're very passionate about it, but we're also just so thankful for it. Like, there's a great deal of gratitude for that escape, and it helps us keep our sanity, if that makes sense. Like, we seem like we're incredibly crazy on the like to the outsider, like the person looking in who doesn't understand. But, like, there's also this huge gratitude towards it, to the people that make it and who have, like, these amazing minds that, like, come up with all this stuff that, like, excites us, and it's different, and it's like there's like an awe, like, I'm in awe a lot of the time. Like, I'm a writer myself, and, like, I want to be that something. Like, I want to be that person that makes up this entire world, that make people just, like, go, like, lose their shit over, and, like, you know what I mean? And like, we're fans, and we pick it apart, and we find meaning in it more because we need it, and less because it's actually there.
Yeah.
Like, it's a really, I feel like it's all about, like, it's growing more and more, but it's like this group of people who are trying to survive in this world that can be really shitty, and this is how they're coping, and it's more like taking attention off what's shitty and putting it in something that excites us. I don't know if that answers your question, but that's where
I'm sure there's an answer in there, and I'll take it.
I don't know how to explain it to an outsider. Like, I would try to talk to them and find something that they're somewhat excited about and say, okay, now imagine that excitement tenfold. And I think that everyone, like I'm more outgoing and more excited for things that I love here than I am at home. Like, I don't show it near as much at home, like, when I'm around those people.
Oh, I see.
You know, like, if I squealed when I saw something Doctor Who back home, people would look at me like I was fucking crazy and try to put me in a sane asylum. Like, I don't know. I don't know why it's different. It seems like it's just I'm more reserved in my words and actions when I'm back there, because I think I feel kind of more judged. But that's just, like, that's not to say that's every small town, but I'm also, like, my papa's a preacher. Like, he's a Baptist preacher. And so there's a lot of, like, I feel a lot of judgment there when I don't feel it here.
Well, that's a whole new topic we'll handle next time. but, yeah, so.
And it could be all in my head. Like, it's just, like, growing up, that's what I felt. So that's what I kind of revert back to when I'm there.
Well, that's awesome. That's great. You're a good thinker.
I'm what?
You're a good thinker. Good job.
Thanks.
Good job.
Thanks.
Right on the head. Well, I think that's going to be it.
How long did we go for?
An hour 12 or so.
It's Jesus. Like,
time flies when you podcast.
I know.
I guess I'm going to, in my format for this podcast, I've been asking you questions this whole time. You get to ask me one question, whatever you want.
I was not prepared for this. You should have warned me.
No, that's how this shit works.
That's bullshit.
It's my podcast.
Oh, my God.
You start your own. You make your own rules.
All right.
Well, okay. Nothing yet?
I think I have one.
Okay.
You want to work in the business, but you don't at the current moment.
Oh, I don't. Hell no. Of course, you tell me there's a job tomorrow, I'll get ready. I won't sleep tonight. I'll camp out there, too.
For no reason.
For no fucking reason. Just be there early. No, so, I definitely want to go back into the industry.
Okay, so you want to get back into the industry, and what is your path? Like, where do you hope that you will begin, and how is that going to get you to where you want to end up?
It's a good question. I want to end up being able to, this got to sound corny, to be in charge of a lot of different things that are all working together to tell the same story. Ideally, that's the big one. And talking about Penguin Air Force.
So, like an executive producer.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I went to school as, and that's what I came out as a producer. I feel like I Yeah, I think of these ideas that I think are amazing, you know, obviously because I think about them. And I'm like, yeah, good job, me.
I do that shit too.
But I feel there are people more qualified to tackle some of those things. So I would love to get talent and give them things to work on and just pass it off
to them. Okay, so you want to development producer?
Yeah, I love development. I love sparking ideas more than anything. Even beyond that, my own thing, and you totally touched on it, is I never knew what I wanted to do in industries besides make movies of some sort. And it wasn't until later that I realized that what I really want to do and all the goals that I want to achieve are taken through this path is I want to start writing and, you know, well, not writing, but keep writing Penguin Air Force. And that's what's going to set up a mythology. Because like you said, what I want more than anything is to have a mythology for something that I thought about. So like you say, you want people to go apeshit over things that you write about or anything. I want to set a story that's ongoing, that tells a mythology, and I just want to keep a mythology going for something that I thought of. Beyond that, I think in my notebook, I have a list of every movie idea I've thought of. It's not more than 10. But I think if I can make those 10 films in any form, like short, crappy, it doesn't matter how they turn out. If I can make those 10 films, I can step away from filmmaking and do something else. I have like a thing of, if anything comes along my way, then I'll work on that. But I have like an idea of these films that I want to do. There's two on there that are definitely, I have to make them within the next 5 to 8 years. If I don't, I'll just kill myself. But I have about 10 ideas, and then once I make them all, and I'm happy, and with the way they came out, I can step away from that, and I can do anything else that catches my attention.
Like fashion.
I would love to do fashion. It's super hard. It's probably more political than film, only because they're judging you on how you look as well.
Vomit. What are you talking about? Of course, they do that in this business.
Yeah, but some people are, you know, they'll judge you on who you know and stuff, but like, hey, but here it's like, oh, how do you look? I feel like I can do something in fashion of some sort. I've always wanted to write a comic book. I've always wanted to write films. And I told you recently earlier, I realized I love advertising. I've always, since a kid, the best part when going to the movie theater for me was looking at all the teaser posters. And I would go around looking at every teaser poster and judging it. So I always loved the marketing aspect of filmmaking. Only because it's done so terribly all the time. I feel that there's room for that area to grow. But more than anything, Penguin Air Force, I think, has become what I'm most looking forward to working on for a while. And beyond that, there's those 10 or so stories. And once I'm done with them, I can't think of anything else to write about after that.
Well, right now, but that could change.
Right now, yeah, it could change. But
like the more creative you are in your daily life, and as that grows, you'll be more creative.
Most definitely, a podcast. I never thought I would podcast, and I just thought, fuck it, why not? I like talking.
Everyone, yeah.
Talking is fun, and I don't care who listens to it. It's for me more than anything else, an archive of my youth, of fun. My kids can stumble upon it one day, and I'll be like, oh, those things, those are my old podcast.
These are ancient. Let's listen to them.
This is when your dad was cool, guys.
This is so unclear.
But yeah, but it's funny because now whenever I go to Comic-Con, some filmmakers will think, you know, they haven't made it till they go to an award show and stuff. I feel once I made it at Comic-Con, that's it.
Word. Oh, my God. To have
I'm done.
Own panel at Comic-Con, I would shit myself.
I would shit myself.
In Hall
too.
H.
In Hall H. I would just shit myself. Once you get to Hall H, that's like the Super Bowl of, like, nerdom. You've made it. Once it's there, mass suicides, we're all going to end ourselves. No reason to go on.
No. No, I don't sign me up for that.
Okay, well, okay. No. Well.
I won't drink that Kool-Aid.
It's seppuku, it's those swords.
What?
Seppuku.
No.
Okay.
All right. I say no.
Okay, no. All right, well, you got something out of me, and I got a lot out of you.
Yeah, I hope it was interesting.
I'm sure someone will listen to it. Someone.
Someone.
Let's guess.
Somewhere.
Who's going to be the first one to listen to this?
Kathy.
I thought so, too. Hi, Kathy.
I love you, Kathy.
Okay. And this is Jose for Space Coyote with my guest today.
Krista Lewis.
And if they want to get in touch with you, is there any way they can get in touch with you through Instagram or Twitter or snail mail? What's your address?
Hell know. I'm not giving you my... Sorry, not that I don't trust you guys.
She just said, be cynical. Don't trust nobody. Not that I don't trust you guys.
I don't trust you, but I don't trust you. Yeah, you can at me on Twitter. I'm good with that. Are you going to put it in the description or are you going to say it?
Just what's your Twitter handle?
It's Chris Lewis, CrysLewis.
And that's a Twitter.
It's Twitter.
Okay. And then if you want to get in touch with me, my Twitter is 1-1-O-N-E-D-A-S-H-O-N-E. And my Instagram, to look at my boring pictures, would be Vanderhaus. It's V as in Victor, A-N-D-E-R-H-A-U-S-E. And you can get in touch with me there, complain or do whatever you want. So that's going to be it today. Thank you for listening for the first episode. There'll be more to come. Have a good night, I guess. Evening.
Good day.
Good day.
Whatever time of day it is.
What time zone you're in?
You have a good fucking time.
Good that. Get that. Okay, bye-bye.
You failed at everything you've ever tried.